When things go wrong in the course of a day, maybe spilling the coffee you just bought or running into a traffic jam, it's easy to blow things out of proportion. We might tell ourselves that the rest of the day is ruined and things will keep going downhill from there. Our next guest calls that thought process catastrophizing and says it's worth learning how to avoid it and turning our focus back to things that really matter. Ryan Martin is a professor of psychology and the associate dean for the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences at UW-Green Bay. He writes about anger and emotion at alltheragescience.com. Ryan, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's probably safe to say that we've all thought this way, fallen into this pattern at one time or another. Why is catastrophizing so easy and so common?
Yeah, so a great question. It is really easy and it is really common. And it plays into just a way of thinking, especially when people are stressed, that they find themselves essentially, something goes wrong and they find themselves really just kind of thinking through how it's going to ruin their day, how it's going to ruin their week, how it's going to ruin their career or whatever.
And what's so bad about doing it?
Yeah, so it's associated with actually all sorts of emotional problems. But the two biggies are anxiety and then in the case that I tend to write about is anger. That when things happen to us and we evaluate those events in highly negative ways, we're more likely to get angry about them. We're more likely to get scared.
So what is the opposite of catastrophizing? What's the better goal?
Yeah, I think what I usually encourage people to do is when they encounter events in their lives that they perceive as negative, to really think through the true consequences of the event to the best that they can. So think through, what does this outcome mean? I hit a stoplight. I was hoping to get through it. Does this ruin my day? How bad is this going to be? And part of what you do there is actually think through, okay, so how long a delay is this? Probably 3 minutes. What does that mean in the grand scheme of my day? Chances are, once people have a chance to really sit down and evaluate that thought process, they see that it's not quite as bad as they originally thought it would be.
And is saying that it would be a good technique to trying to avoid to catastrophize things, does that mean that we should never get upset about things that happen in every day?
No, not at all. In fact, I sometimes and maybe too often see the opposite of that, which is someone describing something really upsetting, really disappointing, and then following up with, but it's fine, you know, and it's not fine, and it's okay to say it's not fine. I think the healthiest option is to try and really think through as logically as you can, what is the real consequence of this? And it's okay to be disappointed when things are disappointing. It's okay to be scared if something negative happens or to be angry when something negative happens. In fact, it's healthy to feel that way. It's just the question is really about evaluating what am I responding to and how bad is this?
So it sounds kind of like putting it into perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because I don't want to suggest to people that there aren't such things as catastrophes. There are, and there are things that do ruin your day or ruin your trip or whatever. It's just about trying to think through those, think about them in the context of your life, think about them in the context of kind of other people's lives, and to try and kind of grab hold what does this really mean, instead of thinking about that initial gut response, which is oftentimes, well, this is terrible. This is the worst thing ever.
We're talking with Ryan Martin right now. He's a professor of psychology and the associate dean for the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences at UW-Green Bay. He writes about anger and emotion at alltheragescience.com. And we're talking about our very human tendency to catastrophize things, to make them seem or feel like they are much bigger deals than they are. And I wanted to go back to something that you said, Ryan. It sounded like you were saying that we might have a tendency also to kind of think of it as the last straw. So if a few other things have gone badly or not the way we wanted them to in the last day, week, month, whatever, it's like, oh, great. Now this is happening. And we kind of, it's almost like we're putting all that frustration into the most recent event.
Yeah. So when people get angry, when you look at the situations in which people are likely to get mad, there's really two parts of the what we call the appraisal process. And the appraisal process is how we evaluate the provocation, the thing that went wrong. And the first part is actually pretty simple. It's when you evaluate the culprit, we'll say, you know, and it's when you say, okay, this is bad, this is negative, this is unfair, that sort of thing. But then, and that's primary appraisal, but the second part is really where catastrophizing comes in, and it's where you evaluate whether or not you can cope with this thing. So this is where you're really asking yourself, can I deal with this? Because if your interpretation is, yeah, this is bad, but it's not that big a deal, I got plenty of time, I'm not going to be too late, you're probably going to be fine. If your evaluation is, yeah, this is bad, and it's going to ruin my entire day, well, then you're more likely to get angry.
So we had some comments on Facebook. One is from Joel, and he says, don't sweat the small stuff, and 99.9% of everything is small stuff and won't matter a month from now. Is thinking ahead to the future, and as we said before, putting things in a little more context and perspective, a good approach?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that it makes sense to really think about things from that sort of, eagle eye or bird's eye perspective. How big a deal is this? Will I in the future be thinking back on this problem? And chances are you won't. And that certainly makes sense. I think too, I mean, there's other approaches. You mentioned putting into perspective, which is related, but you can think about things in terms of other problems human beings face. And you can think about like, okay, so, you know, my computer isn't working properly, but it obviously could be so much worse than that. Those are other ways that, people can deal with those frustrations.
Besides looking forward, it also seems like looking back in some ways could be helpful. For instance, if you've dealt with a similar situation, I'm thinking maybe something at work or maybe something, you know, with your family where it's not the first time that that's happened. You've dealt with it in the past. And yes, maybe it was an annoyance or a minor setback. But here you are today, you know, to tell the tale. So looking back and thinking, yeah, you know, this isn't ideal, but I've dealt with it before. Can that help too?
Absolutely. I think that's an approach a lot of people can take, which is that sort of this too shall pass approach. I've dealt with this kind of problem before, and I'll probably deal with it again. I think the other benefit of thinking about past events is that it gives you the opportunity to acknowledge patterns that are emerging and then start to solve problems if you can. You know, if you own part of that pattern in some way, so maybe I'm consistently running into traffic on my way to work and it's making me frustrated, well, maybe I need to think about things like another route or leaving a little earlier or a host of other options, or just accepting this is how long it takes and I may want it to go faster, but I'm just going to have to, you know, choose better music
or a great podcast or listen to public radio, right? We're talking with UW Green Bay psychology professor Ryan Martin about our tendency to make things a bigger deal than they are, also known as catastrophizing. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you found yourself blowing small things out of proportion? What effect does it have on your mood in the moment, that day, or maybe for even longer? If you're able to avoid catastrophizing, how do you do it? What advice would you give to others on how to keep things in perspective? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about anger and catastrophizing with Ryan Martin, professor of psychology at UW Green Bay. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you found yourself getting angrier than you should about everyday things that go wrong? What have you tried in order to keep things in perspective? And what advice do you have for people about responding to things when they go wrong? What questions do you have for our guest about anger? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And let's go to the phones. And Justin in Appleton is up. Hi, Justin.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
Good. What would you like to share?
I would like to talk about how the state of health of an individual has a lot to do with their tolerance on any sort of situations that they might perceive as negative. Now, for myself, for instance, I could tell you that since I started the ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting, my tolerance for negative situations have gone way up. So I've been catastrophizing things a lot less. And I would like everyone to maybe take a look at their own health and make sure that they're getting the recommended daily requirements of an optimal nutrition.
All right. Thanks for that, Justin. And that's an interesting point, I think, Ryan, that, you know, how we are feeling in general, our health, our mental health, our physical health can certainly impact how we're able to respond to things.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And there's, you know, when you think about the equation that leads to why people get angry, there are other pieces than the ones we've talked about so far. And one of those is what's called the pre-anger state. And that is the mood you are in before the provocation. And it can include, nutrition and things like that. It can also include, are you stressed? Are you hungry? Are you tired? Are you too hot or too cold? I mean, there's a billion factors there that can play a role and make it harder for you to tolerate those everyday annoyances.
Thanks for that call, Justin. And I was thinking, kind of going a little bit back to what Justin was saying, you know, we talk a lot about resilience and how much kind of elasticity we have in our emotions and in our ability to respond to things. If we are catastrophizing, does that lessen how resilient we can be? Because we're always kind of in that really high level of frustration.
Yeah, I mean, I think that related to resilience is this notion of frustration tolerance. You know, how much of a problem or how much frustration can you handle or tolerate? And, I think there are individual differences in that domain, with some people just not able to tolerate as much. But it's also, and I think related to what the caller said, there are times when we're able to tolerate more than at other times, the same people, right? And so, give the example, I slept poorly last night, so I've been pretty exhausted today. That means that some of those little frustrations that I encounter along the day might hit me a little harder than they would have if I'd gotten a full night's sleep.
And on Facebook, Deb said, most things can be treated calmly, but when I have an emotional tie to the situation, it makes letting it go pretty hard. Is it a good idea to evaluate, Mark, how close we might be to the events at hand, what it might be reminding us of, losing someone close to us versus that traffic jam you talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I usually want for people when it comes to dealing with anger is, you know, first and foremost, to kind of be as insightful as they can be about why they're feeling what they're feeling. And sometimes that's a very easy explanation. You know, it's a thing that would make anyone angry. Sometimes it's a little more complicated, and sometimes it is tied to some past experiences we've had, that people just have a history of having been sort of bossed around, so they don't like being told what to do, and that's a particular issue for them. Or the emotional connection to people involved might change things. All of those are going to be driving factors, and human beings are really, really complicated, and all of those are going to be factors. I think regardless of that, where that's coming from, it makes sense to try and pay attention to that. And part of that is evaluating the thoughts you're having in the moment.
We're talking with Ryan Martin right now. He's professor of psychology at UW Green Bay. And we're talking about the human tendency to catastrophize when things go wrong. And let's go to the phones. And Joan in Cresco, Iowa is up. Hi, Joan.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank the professor for putting a name to this syndrome. I wanted to say I'm in a retirement age, but a young retirement age, and I wanted to comment that I have an awful lot of friends who the catastrophe doesn't even happen, but they're overthinking or anxious about it before we ever do something. So whether it's taking a trip or traveling or going for a day outing, they're already thinking, well, it's going to be too hot or the car might break down, and I just have to laugh. So I came up with a saying. I had read somewhere a comment that said, life is messy and divine. And then I realized for most of us, about 75% of it's messy and about 25% of it's divine. So I added a corollary for all of them. I said, find the joy in the messiness.
That's great, Joan. And Mark, I'm guessing that, or Ryan, sorry, I'm guessing that you would not disagree that actually catastrophizing, how would we say that, catastrophizing in advance just in case is not a great approach.
Yeah, no, that is really interesting. I was thinking of it as anticipatory catastrophizing.
Yes.
But that is really interesting. And it's there is a related concept that people have written about called misestimating probabilities. And it's where you actually kind of assume the worst is going to happen. And so that by the time you get there, you've already kind of worked yourself up about it and gotten angry about it.
Yeah.
And it happens. And, you know, people, provocations or these negative events don't have to happen to us for us to get angry about them. We can get angry over imagined events. We can get angry over events from the past.
Joan, I think you sound like a wonderful person to go on vacation with, just for the record. So, Ryan, and another thought process tied to anger is overgeneralizing. How does that play into catastrophizing?
Yeah, a lot of times these and a handful of other thought types kind of play a role together. And so overgeneralizing is when we use these really kind of broad language when it comes to evaluating events. So you get stopped by a stoplight. Again, I know I keep using that example, but you say things like, oh, this always happens to me, or this happens every time, or something like that. And you basically, you take a single event and you turn it into a pattern. And once we do that, we stop responding to that specific event. We start responding to the pattern, which makes it feel much, much worse, right? If my spouse leaves the milk out and I'm frustrated by that, which makes sense, right? I wish it hadn't been left out. That's fine. But if I say, oh, she always does this, then now I'm responding to that pattern and making it a much bigger thing than it actually is.
Let's make sure we don't let you go without getting some really concrete advice on how we can start practicing not catastrophizing things. The next time that something happens and we're like, oh, that's, you know, that just ruined my day, or that's going to ruin my day if it happens. What's a good way to interrupt that thought process?
So I think the first thing is to, once you realize you're doing it, identify that catastrophic thought and then try and replace it with a more realistic one. So ask yourself, is this the worst thing that's ever happened, or is this a mild frustration, right? So instead of saying this weather has ruined my day, you can say, I'm disappointed, but I'm still going to do my best to have a good day. And then, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, please go ahead.
I was going to say, the second part is really to be patient with yourself and know that this takes time, right? So you've spent a lifetime developing these kind of thought habits, and it's going to take some time to undo them. And so the goal is that you're able to do that as closely to the event as possible.
On the other hand, you were saying that it's not particularly helpful if something does go wrong and it does have an impact to follow it up with, but it's okay, or but it's fine. Is there a way to allow ourselves to be kind of appropriately upset, keeping it in perspective, but, you know, giving ourselves that outlet when it makes sense?
Absolutely. I think that for many people, it's really important to acknowledge that there is something to be angry about, that there is something to be scared about. And then I think the next step is really deciding what you can do with that anger or that fear that might be productive. So is this a problem you can help solve or that you can solve on your own? If so, then work towards solving that. I think there is an art to figuring out at what point maybe you aren't able to contribute to the solution or you aren't able to help anymore and being able to let things go at that point.
Well, and I think that's a really good point, Ryan, because it can be easy to feel pretty intense anger over things that we really don't have a lot of control over. It can happen with the news or politics. It can happen with planes always being delayed, a bunch of things that we really have almost no input or control of. Is there a balance of being realistic about those things, but not letting them take such a toll on us?
Yeah, there is. And it's awfully hard for people to myself included, to be able to find that balance and to acknowledge that, you know, there are things I can do about the state of politics in the world. There are things I can do about these kind of everyday problems I experience. Sometimes what I can do about them is limited because there's only one of me. But it's finding a way to try and change the things I can change, but also acknowledge that at a certain point my reach or my power ends, and I do need to accept some things. Accept them doesn't mean say, okay, it's not a big deal. It means just find ways to let those things go.
Is there any room for humor in dealing with things when they go wrong?
Yeah. So psychologists talk about there being what we call incompatible mood states. So the idea is that you can't be anxious and relaxed at the same time, or you can't be angry and relaxed at the same time. The same goes in some ways, depending on the type of humor, for anger and humor, that you can't really be angry and sort of find things light at the same time. Now, that depends on the type of humor, because things like sarcasm tend to be a little more hostile and aggressive. But if we can find ways to make things sound or feel funny to us, it's a way of alleviating some of that tension.
Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Ryan Martin is a professor of psychology at UW Green Bay. He was with us to talk about the dangers of catastrophizing and how we can keep things in perspective. He writes about anger and emotion at alltherage.com.